Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here Thursday, February the 19th, 2026, 17 minutes past the hour. What an interesting conversation we are having here this morning. Well, all kinds of news. We've got 6th Ward City Councilman Ron Prater resigning his position. Apparently has a pretty big surgery coming up. That's pretty understandable. The other news is that Twyla Lang, 4th Ward City Councilperson, has resigned her position because she has been appointed treasurer of Marion City. That's a little interesting. And then, of course, we've got all the talk about water and politicians sending videos out and talking about the water. They're going to fix the water. They're going to do something about the water. I don't know where that's all going. And we've also got the police officer charged in Marion with 2 counts of rape, as well as abduction of a family member. And his attorney, Joel Spitzer, at this point, saying that he would like Marion County Prosecutor Ray Grogan recused from this case because there's a conflict, and Sheriff Bales recused from this case as well, and he has evidence that would show that his client is innocent. So, just another normal morning here. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz if there's anything on your mind. You know, it's an interesting time. I guess we can say that. It certainly is an interesting time. And we'll see where it all goes as we go on down the road. What impact will this have on city council? What impact will this have on votes? I don't know. I don't know. I think it'll be very interesting to see. Go ahead, caller.
No water, no guests yet?
Not yet, not yet. But hopefully okay. Coming.
Are they shooting you a text message when it's time for us to...
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about the water.
Okay.
Real quick. So what I found out is, which I thought the water thing was a publicity stunt because of everything that's happening at his office right now, and, you know, him sending the letter to the EPA, and the EPA has
Grogan.
Already been in contact with, yes, Grogan, and the EPA has already been in contact with Aqua, and you and I said yesterday, we don't think that Aqua is lying, and that we believe the water is within normal limits, but we just don't believe we're used to those normal limits. I think that's what you and I decided yesterday, that we think the water's, let's not say fine, because they're obviously treating it, but we don't believe that it's going to kill us. It's not like when you go to Mexico and they put a sign next to your sink that says, don't drink the water.
Right, there's been no evidence of that, we should say,
right.
Up to this point.
Well, I will say that I made coffee with tap water yesterday, and by mistake, because I've been using bottled water, and my belly was a little gurgly, but I don't believe I feel fine today, so like I didn't seek medical treatment or anything like that. I think it's probably the chemicals. My stomach wasn't used to it. But okay, so Grogan sent this letter to the EPA demanding that they do something, and they contact Aqua and they whatever. Well, I found out last night the entire function of a grand jury, and we all thought that, you know, well, I'm sure we think that it's the prosecutor goes in front of them, they present evidence, and, you know, then they get indictments and they take people to trial. Well, I found out that the grand jury has a ton of power, and Grogan actually has more power than he's letting on. He doesn't need to write a letter to the EPA. He can go in front of the grand jury and ask them to issue a subpoena to bring the Aqua people right up here and testify in front of the grand jury, and then bring the EPA right up here. He can demand it. He's a county prosecutor. And bring the EPA right up here and then make them explain everything the Aqua's telling us and swear under oath that what they're saying is true. He has that power. He doesn't need to write a letter to them and ask them to investigate. they're telling us now, Aqua and is said they've been talking to the EPA. The EPA is saying the water's fine. Okay, come up here and swear under oath that that's what's going on. He doesn't need them to investigate. He can bring them up here and ask them what's going on. And then if they won't, he can start ordering records. He can start, you know, contempt of court and that sort of thing. So I don't know if Grogan knows that he has that power or if he doesn't know how to investigate a crime along those lines. But he has that power to make them come up here and answer questions. We don't need to write letters and send videos. He could just start issuing subpoenas. Yesterday was the grand jury. He could have went in front of them then and said, let's get him up here and make him explain.
Well, I guess what I don't understand, and again, he's not the only one who's done it, but I don't understand the videos and I don't understand people writing, politicians mostly, that they are going to solve this problem. They are fighting for the people of Marion. They are going to get this fixed. And none of them have any evidence besides taste and smell that there is anything wrong. And in their soliloquies on their videos or their writings, they never give you any evidence that they have anything that's wrong, that they have any evidence.
No, they're just demanding answers, right?
Right, and I don't understand.
Well, bring them up here and swear them in and demand answers. He has that power.
Well, and why does something like, because it's not a crime, because we don't know that anything's been done.
But it's civil, but he's supposed to represent us in civil issues, too. I mean, let's say...
No, I understand what you're saying. But I guess what I'm saying is, what is the point of, if you're not sure anything is wrong, and you're not sure that a crime is being committed civilly...
But the man doesn't know how to investigate, Spears.
Right, but my question is, why send the video out? Why not just do it?
Right. You know,
that's what I don't understand.
PR.
Yes, it's and PR, but...
His is very bad right now.
I understand, but that to me, if you're running for office, or you have a PR issue...
Drinking water.
You cannot take the water and
that's
use
fear
that.
Mongering, sir.
Well, it's a wedge issue, and
mm-hmm.
because people do know that it smells bad, and people
mm-hmm.
do know that it tastes bad on a lot of occasions. So yes, I mean people are going to follow you in that and think, oh, aren't you doing great things for us? But aren't you doing great things for yourself?
I don't. Respectfully, the people that don't pay attention to everything going on. Do pay attention to the water coming out of their faucet. So that is a uniting cause, a uniting issue amongst the community that he can tap into that outrage to make himself look good.
Yeah, but
so,
here's what...
Ray, honey, if you listening, or anybody else listening, or any of your friends listening, subpoena those SOBs up here next Wednesday. It's grand jury. I think you need longer than that, actually. Give them 2 weeks to get up here. Heck, give them to the second week in March. Bring them up here, subpoena their records. I think you need maybe 21 days to do that, so let's call a month. Bring them up here and make them explain what was going on. Even if the water is 100% perfect by then, make them explain what's happened for the last 2 months.
Well,
tell us the chemical composition that you used. Tell us why you had to overdose the water. Tell us the parts per million. Tell us all these things, explain, instead of every other time we turn on the faucet, smells like the YMCA swimming pool. And he has that power, though. He does not need, he can compel the EPA to come up here and talk to us. He can compel that. The EPA can't say no. I mean, they would have to go through a bunch of legal action to shut down a subpoena. And why would they if nothing was going on?
Well, and
make a trip up to Marion, explain nothing's going on, and go back to Columbus. That's the end of it.
Yeah, but the problem is it seems to me that when these people are doing these videos and making these statements, they are saying something's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're not saying what it is because...
when he's bathing his children, Scott, he's noticed that there's something wrong.
Right, but
isn't that another play on emotions? Why won't we think? We need to think of the children. And listen, I'm not saying that water is drying my skin out because it does. But, think of the children and our drinking water all in the same video.
I don't know. I just think the timing of the video is very strange.
It's called propaganda. because the man has the ability to do something about it, and it's fear-mongering because we're talking about children and our drinking water now.
Well, and doesn't...
And bathing water. Is it safe to put them in it?
Well, and now... You know, that's kind of been overshadowed because we got the Spitzer, Joel Spitzer, running to the Columbus media and telling them what he knows. So then we had Columbus media back up here yesterday. I don't understand any of this because I don't know why people are making these moves, because these moves do not seem very prudent at all.
All hell's breaking loose, it seems like, and there's not a lot of planning in... It doesn't seem like there's a lot of planning into going into managing it. Because did you see the county now is talking about layoffs? Remember, they didn't want to do that a month ago. But now they're like, well, they might be inevitable by October.
Well, it seems like the people in the county are at least honest when they say something. You know, they when they have to retract something, at least they retract it.
Valid point. City Hall and Grogan just double down.
Well, I don't know. In a way, I feel bad for Grogan because, you know...
This is self-inflicted.
Well, yes, but he had to investigate the police officer. I mean,
Yes. Did he have to make a video about it?
Well, this is what I don't understand. I don't understand why those videos are continuing to... I think it's trying to manage the media, and I think he has not figured out that that can backfire on you. And I don't understand why somebody would continue to do that. It just doesn't seem like the brightest thing to do.
Do you think he would have learned a lesson or two from the Ratliff case, because this really seems like a repeat of the Ratliff case? And again, I can't believe I'm giving the benefit of the doubt to someone that's charged with crimes like these, and especially a police officer, because again, they aren't my most favorite of people. But here we are. This is what our prosecutor has done to us.
But we don't know if the woman's recanted, right?
No, I don't know if she's recanted.
Right, and I don't think that the text messages that you described earlier necessarily prove that a rape could not have happened.
Right, but I believe they prove that more investigation should have happened before an arrest. I'm going to go back to the Ian Gordon case that my family was part of. That was an 18-month investigation that Grogan recused himself from. And the judge also recused himself from, because they knew his grandfather. It wasn't even like, oh, we worked together, or we've seen each other side by side, or my prosecutor was hanging out with you last night. They knew Grandpa, and they recused themselves and brought in special prosecutor from Columbus and a visiting judge. It was actually the same visiting judge that was in Ayers' case. Daniel Hogan. So, I mean, why not recuse yourself and remove all doubt?
Well, just to give the benefit of the doubt here, maybe the person who works in his office didn't tell him that they were out at this big dinner. I don't know, with the police officer. I mean, I guess that's possible.
After you heard that the person, I don't know if they're friends or not, so I can't say your acquaintance. I'd say if you're eating with someone, you're at least an acquaintance. You can't say, okay, I was out with that person last night, and I'm not really sure that's what happened, so maybe we want to look into this a little more. Like,
well,
if you heard your friend's name mentioned, wouldn't you be like, hold up, I was with them that night?
Well, maybe that conversation happened, but maybe it happened after the video. I don't know. I don't know. Do we have evidence that this even happened? I don't know. You know, I imagine the officer is probably pretty desperate at this point. Nobody wants to be accused of that.
I'm pretty sure the kid's still sitting in jail. He might not be. I haven't checked, but I don't know. That part I don't know. I know his bond is $250,000. And that's another thing. Ayers and I have discussed this. He lost $50,000 just on bond, and he's innocent. Because his bond was $500,000. If you can't afford that, you pay 10% to a bondsman. They guarantee the $500,000, but when all your court stuff is done, that's their fee for bonding you out of jail. So he lost $50,000 just for getting, so he could get out of jail. Lost, gone, never to be seen again.
Well,
so I don't know if that kid's family has $25,000 that they can just kiss goodbye to get him out of jail, plus the attorney fees. So
you
now
know,
you're talking five figures, even if he's innocent.
If the victim has not recanted, I think this is going to be a much more complicated case. I don't know. If the person working in Grogan's office was at some kind of dinner with him the night before, the night of. So if
I
that
believe so.
If that
Maybe
did
it
happen
the night before, I don't know.
Well, if that did happen, then I guess there probably could be a problem.
Maybe
there.
Maybe it was the night before. I don't know. It was the night
that,
of, and the next morning it said. I'm pretty sure.
The next morning.
That's what.
What? Now wait a second.
Just gossipy stories, but the stories that I've heard come out of about Ray Grogan's office,
we want to try to get as close to the truth here as possible.
So that's why I'm not going to mention the stories that Spitzer's. Hold on, I've got it. It's in Spitzer's thing that he was out the night before with.
No, but I thought it was a group dinner.
That doesn't mean anything.
What kind of group is this?
I don't know. Law enforcement.
Is that what it is? Okay, well, there you go.
Okay.
Jeez Louise.
A chief assistant prosecutor was with the defendant the night of the alleged incident and the following morning.
Mm-mm-mm.
So I don't know if that means they were overnight, or if they met for breakfast. That's up to us to speculate.
But how do we know this was a group activity?
Because I was told that they are not dating. That the prosecutor is talking with somebody else in the police department.
So they had dinner the night before, and then they had...
And then they had breakfast the next morning.
But they were not with each other in the meantime.
I don't know that part. Only Jesus and them know.
Oh, my God.
And well, it's old Spitzer, it seems like.
Okay. I think our call is coming in, finally. So let's take...
I'm excited for it.
Here we go. Okay, bye-bye. All right, I think our call is coming in here. Well, goodness gracious. Well, it's a good time to change the subject, isn't it? You know, well, maybe the call will come at 9:50 now. I don't know. Let's see. You know, live is an interesting thing. But no, you know, we hate to be a little bit of a gossipy show here, but apparently that's what Joel Spitzer, the attorney, is saying. So, you know, this is where we are. All right, this is the call we've been waiting for here this morning. Yesterday we found out that past 6th Ward City Councilman Ron Prater has resigned his position due to some medical reasons, and we're so glad this morning to be joined by former 6th Ward City Councilman Ron Prater. Mr. Prater, how are you?
I'm doing all right this morning.
Good. Mr. Prater, what's going on?
Well, I found out Tuesday when I went back to the orthopedic doctor that I'm going to need another surgery, which is this time they're going to put me into a cast. And it has to do with the quadricep muscle connecting to the patella, which I completely decimated. And it's going to be an extensive recovery, you know, and much physical therapy, post-operative, and then post-recovery. And if I don't do nothing with it right now, I'm going to be using a walker the rest of my life and have a brace on my leg.
Mm.
So I have determined that right now there are so many critical things going on in Marion, Ohio, which I was looking forward to this term on council. I finally felt like after the first 2 years, and I wanted to be here to help the city turn around this unfortunate accident that I had in my home where I decimated my knee in such a way that is indescribable, has prevented me from being there at meetings. And when I was in the hospital, I contemplated this back in January that I might have to do this. And I come to the conclusion that the best thing for the city, instead of having an empty seat representing the sixth ward on council nights and committee meetings, it would be better for me to step aside and focus, let someone step in that can do the job and be there to vote, make decisions, and then for me to focus upon my recovery.
Now, Mr. Prater, do you have anybody in mind that you would like to see take your spot?
There's a very good man that was filled in on council at large last year. There's a lot of good people. I even worked with one at the bus garage who would be a good candidate. I'm not going to mention any names or nothing right now, but there are some good people that could step right in and fill in and, you know, hit the road running. And they will come up with someone, and the Republican Central Committee and them, they'll vote on it, and they'll fill in for me. I did not want to do this, but sometimes you just can't put yourself, I could have stayed, missed a bunch of meetings, but because I was elected, I was officially elected, I could have hung on, missed a bunch of meetings, and still held on to my position, but there's so many critical votes coming up, I just decided to step aside.
How hard of a decision was it for you?
It was very hard. I was looking forward to helping this city get out of this crisis, with the finances, that the indiscrepancies, the budget shortfalls. There's a lot of tough decisions coming up. A lot of tough decisions that may not always be popular, but things that need to be done. And I needed to be there all the time, focused 100% to do my job in the best way possible. So for the sake of the city, which I love Marion, it's the only reason I ran for city council, is my love for Marion, is to step aside.
Now, obviously, as we find out that you have resigned, we also found out that Twyla Lang, 4th Ward City Council person, has also resigned because she's been appointed treasurer of Marion City. How do you feel about that decision?
She's going to be sorely missed on council, representing the 4th Ward and all the things she did as the head of the finance, chairman of the finance committee. But her knowledge of the finances in Marion, she is a great choice to go step in as treasurer. And with our new auditor, Vidya, I think we're in a far better shape than we were last year. Twyla will be very, very good. You will not have some of the drama maybe that we had at City Hall last year and some of the at council meetings. She will be very thorough and efficient as the treasurer. She's very good. She's very smart.
Well, I tell you, the big conversation Monday night was possibly ending the tax credit for those who work out of town. Do you think that's a good idea?
Yes. When I worked for Nestle, I worked for 2 years full-time, and I worked for Nestle from 2013 to 2019 until they ended their DSD division. I paid both Plain City taxes and Marion taxes. It is a great idea, because why should you get a good job out of town, make a lot more money, because generally you're not going to be working out of town unless you're making more money, okay? If you're going to go work in Columbus or Delaware or Marysville, you're doing it because you're going to make more money than you can at some place here in Marion. Why should you get city benefits and not pay any city taxes?
But I guess the opposing argument is, what if that would behoove people to move out of the city?
it wouldn't be hooves. It's just right. I mean, I couldn't even believe it was done. I mean, I complained. Let me tell you, when I'd look at my pay stub, and I'd say, oh, I was paying more city tax to Plain City, because that's where the Nestle warehouse was, you know, for pizza and ice cream, you know. Mm-hmm. And I never even went there, only to apply. I was working from my home. I'd hop in my car and travel to different places every day, you know. I mean, I never even went there, but I was paying taxes to Plain City because that's where the warehouse was. And that's where, and when I look at my pay stub, I was paying more taxes to Plain City than I was to Marion. But you know what? I lived in Marion. I was getting Marion benefits by living here in Marion. And it's only right. I mean, it's not going to cause people to move out of Marion. Ridiculous.
What?
I mean, if you love Marion, you love Marion. It's only fair.
Well, what do you think, in your opinion, all of this financial trouble, what has caused it to the degree that we have to do away with things like this that have been in place for a period of time now?
Well, it was just, it goes clear back to when the inception of the 2009, when we brought up the accounting system, you know, New World. It goes back there. It goes back with people not doing things in a proper way, people that may not have been qualified for a job doing a job, and you know, it really was impossible to understand the complexity of the mess we were in. It took a while. You never really, and that's what's frustrating to me, having to leave it just not. Now I totally understand everything, and I was looking forward to getting it corrected. And I believe Marion can get this corrected. It's just not going to be easy. There's a lot of tough decisions coming up.
Now, what kind of problems could you identify between 2009 and 2020? Because I believe the first year the books were not reconciled was 2020.
You know, I'm just sitting there saying the problem goes back to bringing in a system that was just a mess. And you know what? And there's other ways you can reconcile things. And the books may have been reconciled. I'm not an expert on this, but there was problems that goes back that far. Right now, the only thing I want to talk about today is the reasons why I resigned.
Mm-hmm.
And it was due to health concerns.
Well,
there's just a lot of decisions coming up that are not going to be popular. And but they need to be done. Sometimes doing the right thing is not the easy thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Well, that's of course, and I think people have to make tough decisions. But how much of the blame do you think is going to be put on the people who are currently in office who are
I think too much blame is put on, because I don't think that anybody that stepped in 2 years ago when we came in, I came in with Twyla and a bunch of other people and Mayor Collins, I don't think anybody had the total comprehension of how screwed up things were, how screwed up things might have been. I mean, we have a new thing going on, the Information Technologies Committee. They're going to be able to uncover a lot of things. And like I said, that's why the reasons I quit, I needed to be totally focused upon what was going on with the city and all the problems. And the only reason I'm calling in right now is to give the explanation of why I'm resigning.
Well,
for the good of the city.
Well, and I appreciate that. And I guess the only question I want to ask you is, as the city goes on, because you'll remain a resident of the city, do you think that this group now that's in place can turn everything around? The first plan that was sent to the auditor of the state was rejected, that the city had sent.
Well, a lot of times the first plan is rejected. I mean, that's not uncommon. East City, East Cleveland is in receivership right now. I mean, you know, Mansfield's population is declining. I mean, we're not the only city that's facing issues right now in Ohio and or anywhere else in our country. Look at the debt, billions of dollars that Los Angeles is in debt. I mean, but I do believe that more will get, this is why I hated that this to happen to me at this time. I do believe that this city council, this group here, will accomplish more than any group in years.
Well, time will tell. And Mr. Prater, I hope you feel better. I'm glad you were able to call in this morning. And as time goes along, maybe you can share your thoughts with us on how things are going.
Well, Scott, you know what? Later on, if I might call in and talk to you again. But right now, today, I got something else I got to do here shortly. That's why I got to cut this short. But I just wanted you to know that it's done because I want to put the city first, and because I love Marion, and I'm going to probably live here and die here and all that. And I want the city to be better, and I'm sure that very competent people will replace me in Twala. And it will, I think that a lot of lessons have been learned, and I believe that the city will move forward, and I believe that there is a light at the end of the tunnel, and the people of Marion need to stick together. We're still having problems with the stinking water. It should not be happening in this day and age. It's ridiculous, and these things need to be resolved, and because I can't put 100% into it, that's why I stepped aside.
Well, best of luck to you on your surgery, and keep us updated on how you're doing, and I'm sure we will talk soon.
Hey, and Scott, I'll miss seeing you up at the meetings.
Yes, yes, it was always fun. So, like I said, we'll stay in touch, though.
All right, buddy.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Former 6th Ward City Councilman Ron Prater, and that's the phone call we were waiting for. And I'm glad he called in, and we wish him the best in his medical issues, and wish him a speedy recovery. All right, the phone lines are open, 48 coming up on 49 minutes past the hour here, WGH Talk Time. Always a very nice man to me, and you know what, he called in and did the interview, and you know, I think that's what we want. We want to hear from people. We want to hear what they have to say, and we think that Mr. Prater, and we thank Mr. Prater for doing that. All right. Well, we've got about 11 minutes left in this broadcast today. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. What an interesting time. Boy, don't we say that every day. Things just come flying out of left field, right field, center field. They're all over the place. Well, does anybody have any thoughts? Twyla Lang resigns her position on city council to become the new treasurer of Marion City. We've got Ron Prater resigning due to medical issues in the 6th Ward. Apparently, Bill Dichtel does live in the 6th Ward, I think, according to Mr. Prater there. We've got the officer charged with rape. His attorney, Joel Spitzer, now saying he's got some evidence that may prove different. You know, and some of this evidence, I don't know. You know, you can't make it up. You can't make it up. It's just strange. People talking about the water, that's a very popular subject with people right now. Ayers Ratliff at City Council on Monday showing up, talking about the Flock cameras, and basically saying that he doesn't have a whole lot of confidence in the police force at this particular time in Marion. There's any myriad of things that we could talk about right now, and we've got about 9 minutes left. If you would like to weigh in, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Feel free to give us a buzz. We've got about 9 minutes left in the broadcast. And you know, this whole thing with the police officer, you know, I think it's very it's very difficult to discuss that to a great degree, because rape is a horrible charge, and abduction is a horrible charge, and I don't think it's shocking to anybody that the police officer would say he's not guilty. Now, the evidence that's being presented as to him being not guilty apparently are some text messages. And apparently, allegedly, some of these text messages are with somebody who works in Mr. Grogan's office. And apparently there was a dinner the night that this alleged rape happened. February the 11th, I believe, is the date on that. And allegedly they had breakfast the next morning. So there you go. If that doesn't, I don't know if that clears up anything. I honestly don't know. I don't understand half of what's going on with people right now. But I know that, as I said earlier, Columbus Media, they've got a good beeline to Marion just about any day they want to, if they want to get a good news story going. All right, we've got about 7 minutes left in the broadcast if anybody'd like to call in. Hey, it's 49 degrees. That's nice. We've had a couple of days of nice weather here. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And just back to the water thing for a second. Again, if there's ever any proof, and you think we would start to see proof by this point that something's wrong with the water, we would see it. Go ahead, caller.
Just because no one else is calling, what do you think that, I mean, finally Columbus has gotten up here. What do you think they think of the strongest town in North America?
Well, I think, I'm not sure what's going on here right now. I've never seen such a rash of news stories that would qualify for Central Ohio media. But I also think we do get a bad rap on these stories because, you know, you get sometimes a minute, sometimes 3 minutes, and you don't get the full feel. If you're living in another city or another county, they're probably going, well, geez, what in the world's going on there? But you don't get the full aspect of the story.
No, unless you dig a little deeper. And then when you go to these local gossip pages, you get gossip.
Right, you get gossip, which is yeah. Why, you know, I don't know, the things that Spitzer has released, I don't even know what they suggest, to be honest with you.
I think what they suggest is maybe there should have been a bit more of an investigation before the man was incarcerated. That's what I'm getting, so, primarily.
Well, I'm not trying to get too gossipy into this, but okay, so what happened was, this all happened February 11th. So, what happened was the police officer was having a group dinner.
I'm not sure about, like, I don't know what we're considering group, but it was more than him and the assistant prosecutor.
Okay. So, they were having...
The assistant prosecutor is dating a different police officer.
The assistant prosecutor is dating a different police officer.
Mm-hmm.
And this police officer is at that dinner alone.
No, I'm pretty sure. Okay, I've got to find it. He was. It says that they were together. I know that she or he was there with someone else, the assistant prosecutor, and. Okay, where are these things? It's insane. It really is insane.
But no, so here's the timeline. They're out to dinner. There's more than two people out to dinner the night that this happens. Okay, the police officer who gets accused of rape gets text messages from the accuser. Who is saying...
The chief assistant prosecutor was with the defendant... and someone else, I don't know how many other someone else's, the night of the alleged incident and the following morning. Now, I can't imply anything if they were at the same location all night. I do not know that. I know that they saw each other the night of the incident and the next morning.
Okay.
But it was an arranged rendezvous between the alleged victim and the police officer.
Right. So I guess that's where I get...
He knew he was coming over.
Okay. Well, I guess that's where I get confused. Because, okay, so he's out to dinner with the person from the prosecutor's office and somebody else.
Others.
Okay. Then he gets the text messages from his family member. So then he goes over to the family member.
The alleged victim. Let's not say family member because people were assuming it was a child.
It's not a child. They said adult. Adult in the press release.
Yes.
Okay. So then he goes over there, I assume alone. So he goes over there, and whatever happens, happens.
They have their meeting.
Yep. Whatever happens.
Their prearranged meeting.
We don't know what happened. And then the next morning, he's with these two people again.
He's at least with the prosecutor. I know that much.
Okay. Well, I guess that, see, now that's a little more androgynous. Because clearly the prosecutor, the person from the prosecutor's office, was not with him when he went over to the alleged victim's place.
No, I don't think that the prosecutor was there for that meeting.
Right. So, really, what does that prove?
Well, he would have to question his own prosecutor. And that would be the conflict.
Right. So there's a conflict there. Yes, I understand that. That yes. But really, for what? I mean,
proves, I guess, that, you know, like, we were all together and whatever, and it wasn't like he went over there and was talking about abducting her and raping her, and he was...
Yeah,
but there might
it
have been talk like he's going over to see such and such, and okay, we'll see you tomorrow kind of thing.
Well,
you know what I mean? Like, who knows why... Listen, after watching some of the stuff go on in the Ratliff trial, I don't know why some of the people were questioned. I don't get it. But, so, if this person had to be questioned, Ray shouldn't be doing it.
Right, but I guess... Listen, I understand...
And nor should any of their co-workers. You know, their co-workers shouldn't be questioning them either.
No. But I would not... You know what? I don't know why they would be called to testify, I guess. I don't know. I think Spitzer, obviously...
If you and I were together hanging out the night before I went and committed 3 felonies, they'd probably want to talk to you.
They probably would, but I mean, what's the chances that you would admit that you were going to go do that? Commit a crime?
Well, I mean, it would go to your mood and all that stuff. Were you drinking? What was going on? Did I say that I was, like, going over to... Yeah, I'm going to go over and hit it, or I'm going to go over and talk to her, or we're fighting again, or, you know, I mean, all of those things would come into context.
Well, I think the more pertinent evidence here is apparently she was inviting him over, but again, you don't know what he did when he got there.
We agreed you slept with someone else, and now you are literally effing someone tomorrow. I just feel confused and used. That was her... text to him.
She said what? Now what was it?
We agreed. I'm assuming that means to be exclusive, but I don't know. We agreed. You slept with someone else, and now you are literally effing someone tomorrow. But the word was used. It's just blurred out. I feel confused and used.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, I guess that was after they had their meeting.
Oh.
Their prearranged meeting? I don't know. It's a hot mess. More investigations should have been done before someone was jailed and videos went out once again.
Well, maybe that's the ultimate problem here. You know, again, don't know if the person's guilty or innocent, but, you know, videos are probably not great optics.
Right. It turned public before those things could be determined.
Right. So, I guess we'll talk about it tomorrow morning.
Take care, Scott.
Hey, thanks for calling. Bye-bye. Voice of the People with Linda Sims coming up next. Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Goodness, how could we ever forget that?
Yeah. I would drive the my producer crazy sometimes. We always had to